a raven is like a writing desk.
But I don't want to go among mad people.
Oh, you can't help that. Most everyone's mad here.
My response to that is both profound and meaningful. Get your hair cut.
Welcome, welcome, one and all, to yes, it is the 25th episode of Pennies in the Well and a Mad Hatter episode. Booyah, that's right, that's what I said. There's something absolutely fabulously wonderful about a psychotic little chipmunk sound. I know, wait, hold on, I have to play that again. And again, and again, and again, because it's so cute. Yes, it is a Mad Hatter episode, and it is brought to you by the first glass of the first bottle of my very first batch of mead. Yes, that's right. Tonight, episode 25, Pennies in the Well, brought to you by Honey Wine. Why? Because it's been that kind of week, that kind of month. Definitely that kind of fucking year. And in order to bring you the true Mad Hatter experience, I needed to embrace something a little less, well, you can insert your favorite word here. So I have a few announcement type things today, and followed by the announcements. Okay, one of the announcements is going to slide into a rant. I don't believe I have yet ranted on this show. I may have appeared to do so, but I'm pretty sure I have never given in to a full out-and-out, no-holds-barred mic opinion without shadings of careful statement yet on this show. So tonight, you might experience the full force of Saturn in full rant. It is possible. I have yet to see if that's going to happen. Now please bear with me, because despite the fact that the Pacific Northwest is pretending that summer is the season that time forgot this year, I'm still having allergies. Yes, that's right, we've barely had any sun, we've had more rain than even we're comfortable with, and yet I have allergies. That, to me, my dearling, darling, wonderful peoples, is the height of unfair, cruel, such a cruel world. Yes, prepare yourself if you're not ready to go down into, not just the well, it is the rabbit hole well with me tonight. Then you had best skip ahead, for the topic itself of the night, it will be introduced by a round of cheering and applause and intense, expression, because all of you are winners. You are, I am, you are, it is a fabulous thing, but we're not there yet. So if you would like to skip ahead to the supposed meat of this episode, and I use the word meat liberally. Did you know that there used to be a manmeat.com where, no, manbeef.com where you could supposedly buy human body parts for consumption, included recipes and everything. This was brought to me many years ago by a student who was working in our office who was a vegetarian. She was also the one who brought pig's feet to Cheese Day. Sometimes people in life throw you curveballs and thus make life far more interesting and entertaining. For what would our lives be without these quirky stories brought to you by the fellow insane? So, excuse me for a moment as I deal with this stupid fact that I have allergies. Okay, and let us get into, right, my god, that is fabulous mead, straight to the head, takes no time at all, seriously, I took a sip as I hit record, it's fabulous, highly recommend it, unless, of course, you're an alcoholic, in which case, I'd stick to other types of drugs, very well, thank you very much. God damn, I'm good. All right, that would be with the mead. With the show that remains to be seen, as many of you suddenly turn it off and flee in other directions. So my announcements for the night are, if I can recall them, oh yes, first off, the flight, the hotel, the pre-flight hotel, amusingly enough, have been booked, and I will be winging my way with one of my coven mates to keep me company over to the Podkin Supermoot number 2 in Salem, Massachusetts, in, it's like the third week of September, I'm going to say 17, 18, 19, something like this. Yes, no, maybe. Where a bunch of your favorite, or perhaps not favorite, but you never have to tell us, and that's what makes it grand. Pagan podcasters are getting together in Salem, Massachusetts, and we are going to hang out, we are going to party, and we are going to be available to you for your entertainment on the Saturday at, I think it's Hex. I'm pretty sure that's where we're going to be. Don't listen to me. Go look it up. PaganPodkin.com is where all the details are. And you too can meet me in person. Yes. You can take a photo with me if you like, because I don't care if my picture is up on the web. It is already out there. I do insist, though, that the important parts of the clothing must stay on during the picture. However, if you have a fucked up, whacked out hat for me to wear, I am a Mad Hatter. I will wear it in the picture, no matter what it looks like. Suddenly I have a vision of me with a, you know, foot and a half long dong on the top of my head. I wonder if beer would come out the tip of it. That'd be quite the showcase hat, wouldn't it? Really long penis with a hose coming out of the end that supplied you with beer that was on the top of your head. Takes that whole beer can thing hat to a whole different level there, doesn't it? Yes, it does. So that is announcement number one. So if you want to meet me in person, that's where you'll be able to do it. And along with a whole bunch of other people, and I will forget people if I start listing, but I'll give it a shot. We have Mojo and Sparrow from The Wiggly and Way. We have Velma Nightshade from Witches Brouhaha. We have Corey and Lane from New World Witchery, and I'm pretty sure both of them are actually coming. We have Jillian from Iron Powaka. Her name is escaping me, but Lakefront Pagan Voice. Oh my god, I suck at names. I really do. See, I'm coming with my coven mate Holly, who has been on the show, and she's the holder of the names. She was like my personal palm pilot for a long time, because she actually can remember that kind of shit. I forgot my own aunt's name once, to her face. Do you know how embarrassing that is? Spending an hour and a half dodging around the whole name issue. Doesn't sound like it should be hard, right? We don't use names that often. Trust me, when you're very conscious of the fact you can't remember their name, it's right up there, right front and center going, ha ha ha, you can't use me because you are thinking the wrong name. Right, so we will be there. And wow, that whole fat thing really, really has taken me off my stride. So, that having been said, let us move to a vague announcement number two. It's not really an announcement. Well, it sort of is. I occasionally, for fun, happen to write, and my first short story has been published by Misanthrope Press, and is in their, see, name's totally failing me today. Their magazine title goes here, the one that Chris Oropello from The Infinite and the Beyond promotes on his show, and he will be at the Pagan Pagan Supermoot, as will Arrive the Sphinx from Media Astra Octera, and Firelight from Inciting a Riot, and there's other people. I think Grey Wolf Moonsong is going to be there, and there were other people. It's getting to be quite the list, I have to tell you. It's getting a little overwhelming. How are we going to have those deep, personal, in-depth conversations when there are so many of us? Intriguing. Right, so you'll have a great opportunity to meet us all. And I was on Chris. Oh yes, stories. So published through Misanthrope Press, and myself and a couple of other podcasters are also in the Pagan Anthology Etched Offerings, which should be coming out later this year. So feel free to check it out. And if you're ever curious about that side of my life, you can check me out at www.samanthahearn.com. And oh my god, I just did self-promotion. Ooh, well that's just not natural. It is downright freaky. I don't do self-promotion. I mean, I will promote, sort of. No, I just get really into life. Fuck that. Screw that. Don't check me out. Don't look it up. Don't read the stories. Fuck it. No. Ha! I say puh on self-promotion. Of course, it could be the mead talking. Let's see. Announcement number three. This is where we start to run into the possibility of rantiness. So, have you heard about Etsy? I'm betting you have. Most of you have. Etsy.com is a site for the artistic, crafty type peoples of the world to put up their stuff and sell it so that the rest of us who are not so craftily inclined can go and buy it. you know, promotes a wonderful kind of craft community. Marvelous things. Well, there is a dirty underside, underbelly to the Etsy world. Oh, yes, there is. And it is showcased by Helen Killer of regretsy.com. Yes, regretsy.com. R-E-G-R-E-T-S-Y.com. Where she points out all the people who are actually, you know, big companies in China reselling their shit. People who have copied off of other people in grotesque ways. I mean, we often copy off of each other in, you know, flattering ways, but sometimes it gets a bit much. And of course, all the, wow, you really think that's even worth $5? Holy crap, you think that's worth $200? What the fuck did you take as a drug? Because I want me some. Whatever it is, it's got to be good if you think that that's worth $200. Oh yeah, she's got some great fuckery, and that's what she calls it, on the site that is she pulls off of Etsy. Oh my god. So if you love snark, now beware. It is the land of snark on Regretsy. And that's where the rant's going to start to come in. And I'm going to come back to it. I'm going to try and get this announcement out. So if you really want to skip the snark and the, well, me ranting, you can do so. So the point of bringing up Regretsy on a pagan podcast is because these wonderful, crafty, psychotic, what did they call themselves? Drunk, fat, harebrained women? Hey, they're the ones who said it, not me. They are making a tarot deck. That's right, a Regretsy tarot deck filled with homage to all of the whimsical fuckery out there. And yes, I do believe on the High Priestess card, which features, of course, Helen Killer, the promoter of Regretsy, the brainchild. No, wait, the brainchild is, well, you know, she's the one who started it. Between the twin pillars of whimsical and fuckery. Oh yes, 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 yes. There is, on that site and on the cards, there will be octopuses and goatsy. And I finally looked up what the hell goatsy was today and was a tad eye-opened. Yes. Yeah, if you're going to look that up, goat, S-E, G-O-A-T-S-E, look it up on a dictionary. Do not, this is me being nice, do not go to anything but a dictionary site or you might get more than you bargained for. Of course, if you like to get more than you bargain for, then please feel free and go look up the picture site, goatsy.something else, because you might just get something that makes your eyes go pop, your innards go whoosh, and your heart go thump. So, they are doing a tarot deck that is beyond divine. If you are like me and you collect random weird-ass tarot shit, because I happen to have a set of tarot dice, and I think I've mentioned this before, but if you happen to miss the statement, yes, tarot dice. I got that for Christmas one year from my mother. Way to go, Mom! Hell fuck yeah! On each of the dice, there's 6 different teeny tiny horrible, and I mean horrible, renditions of the cards. And near as we can tell, randomly stickered on as to which dice got which cards. There's no rhyme, no reason. It's just psychotic and fabulous. This Regretsy tarot may just rival, if not exceed, the tarot dice. It is that fucked up. Oh yeah, oh baby. And you, too, can be a possessor, but only if you hurry, because it turns out that there are a limited number of them that are going to be printed ever. Yeah, that's right. You can get yourself a limited edition tarot deck. I will put it, of course, in those pesky little show notes, but you can check it out on Kickstarter.com, Kickstarter.com. That's where they're collecting the pledge money. So at this point, you're just pledging until they actually have the deck done and ready to ship to you. And just do a search for Regretsy Tarot and bada boom, bada bing, baby, right in fucking front of you is the most glorious set of horribleness you will ever have the privilege of being able to buy online. Okay, now I take that back because some of the shit on Etsy really, holy fuck. Which, serendipitously brings us back to the rant. Dun, 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 dun. Which I think deserves another sip of mead. And did you have a sip of something while you're listening to this? Because I would recommend it. This type of show does much better when sitting in the dark, which I am, with a candle going, which I have, drinking a bottle of something that you like, which I definitely am, and if you happen to be able to stare at a wall of growing bottles of such thing, that too could be part of the happy mystery of listening to episode 25 of Pennies in the Well. Well, 25-ish. Does it really count as a full 25 episode when it's a Mad Hatter episode? I don't know. I keep having that song running through my head, though, from S.J. Tucker. If I leave my grin behind, remind me that we're all mad here, and that's okay. That's right. It is okay. My love out to all of you, and I'm telling you right fucking now, no matter how screwed up, how depressed, how grand, how horrible, whatever you may be, it's all right. You're all right. You're perfectly perfect in my Mad Hatter world. Because we all are perfectly perfect in this Mad Hatter world. Though that actually starts to get into the actual topic of the show, which we have not reached yet because we must enter the land of the rant. Anyone else watch Land of the Lost when they were a child? I'm suddenly feeling old. Time for another sip. And what kind of fucking podcaster am I that I came up with so early on the ability to do a show like this, where rampant chaos can fly through the air with streaming colors of rainbow incandescent stupidity. And it's okay because I frameworked it. You can get away with almost any fucking thing if you framework it. Except, of course, when people who have brains and pay attention look at things and start to snark. Which brings us to the rant. So, as I was thinking about this episode, and thinking about how I wanted to mention the tarot deck, and how if you haven't run out and already bought your deck, you cannot call yourself a tarot deck collector. I know most of you probably aren't, but still, oh my god, the glory fest of it. How often are people even directly involved in making a tarot deck? I am so craftily challenged that there's not a chance. I dream of it, and yet, no, never gonna happen. So this is as close as I'm ever gonna get to that. And I was thinking about this and thinking about, you know, how I would have to preface what Regretzi is, which means to explaining Etsy, and then, you know, their particular take on the whole Etsy site. And then I'd have to give fair warning that they are snarky people and they mock and mock harsh. I mean, these are some seriously tough, you know, snarkers out there. Oh, hell fuck yeah. There's very little in the way of gloves. And it gets a little interesting, actually. I have to try and remember to come back to that other point because it's an interesting one. Maybe I'll do it first. Because some of the things, because I can remember the rant, everything else, well, the mead kind of washes out the brain cells. It's a good thing, sort of. Because some of the stuff that gets mocked, shall we say, on Regretzi has a pagan-esque theme to it. You know, like the big-ass staff, the flowing priestess gown, the beaver fur, well, the all-fur, well, tunic, shall we say. And some of the stuff, I'm like, it's interesting. It's a duality thing, because I get where the snark is coming from. I also appreciate the art that went into making it. Sometimes there's the, no, you actually just failed at making that, or where you took the picture is just psychotic, or did you really think you could just sell that using your breasts, which is another common theme on Regretzi. The use of personal body parts, private body parts, in order to sell crap. And I realized that there is this interesting dichotomy of, you know, I guess it comes back into the rant too. We are not mainstream. I tell you now, if you're listening to this podcast and you're actually putting up with it, and given where the second part of the podcast is going to go to tonight, you are not part of the mainstream. You are not one of the sheep. You see things in a different light, which is a bangle song and not that great. Well, not bad, but whatever. And sometimes we forget that to the greater world, no, we're odd. Yes, we are. Oh yeah, we're fucking odd, people. We do not conform to the standards of society. We have fled the world of normalcy Pagans, people against goodness and normalcy. That's right, Dragnet had it right. Well, okay, we like our goodness and all, but fuck normalcy. That is definitely not our realm. So it shouldn't be surprising when people who are, you know, much more mainstream come across shit that we like and they go, dude, that's fucked. Well, yeah, I like dead things. I like the bones of dead things and the furs and the feathers of dead things. And that, you know what? For the mainstream world, that's fucked. So, you know, all power to them. I think it's important for us to remember that we are different and that some of the stuff that we find interesting is going to get judged in a way that we would consider unfair, except we have to remember the context that it's in. If you're getting slammed by the pagan community for a pagan item, that's a very different thing than getting slammed by the community at large, greater society, because they don't understand. Which has digressed me. And I'm going back to the fucking rant. Now to the fucking rant. Right after this moment of from our sponsor. Ah, mead. So the rant is this. It started with the whole, you know, regretsy, the snark, the commentary, that they're saying things that make people uncomfortable. They, oh dear God, wait for it. They criticize. Holy crap, I used the C word. And not that C word, the other, the bigger, the longer C word, criticize. Oh my God, they dare to have a fucking opinion. And a lot of times, and this definitely includes the pagan world, and I mean the broader pagan context, when I am in private with those closest to me, the gloves are off, the filter is gone, and the ranting begins. But you have not seen this from me, because normally, well, the greater community doesn't take well to it. So it's kind of funny that my rant is actually about my inability to rant in some ways. Because people get all fucking antsy, up in the air, pissed off, freaked out, if you dare to say anything fucking negative about anything. It's gotten to the point where, you know, I always offer my good opinion. But when it comes down to it, I sometimes think I have a soul of destruction because I really like to annihilate things. Oh, do I ever. And I can tell you where things are wrong, where it needs work. Okay, that's not it's not destructive. But it is potentially destructive for the purpose of constructive criticism. So many people I meet do not want to actually have honest feedback. That's right, feedback of going, you know what? You did this really well, but you really need to work on this other thing over here. You watch shows like So You Think You Can Dance, because I can actually handle that one. I've never been able to do American Idol. If you love it, well, good on you. Just not my thing. But I do love So You Think You Can Dance because I love watching the dance routines. But when you hear the audience freak out because the judges dared to give feedback, as in your blah, 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 because I don't know the dance terms, needs more work. Your foot positioning needs better, you know, work. You need to point your toes more. You need a stronger frame. You need to be more upright. Your shoulders need to go back. This is constructive criticism, people. This is feedback. This is going, you know what? You're not fucking perfect. And there's a way to improve yourself. And why do we freak on people who dare to actually give this feedback? This is the part that kills me. We should want it. If you want to get good at something, you fucking better be going, people, give me feedback. I need it to know whether or not I'm on the right track. Why fear it so much? Why avoid it? You know what? If you've started something new, unless you are a freaking miracle child, you are not going to be good at it. Let me say that again. You start something new, you are not going to be good at it. You're not. It takes time, practice, work. Oh, huh, there's a whole nother rant about actually taking the time and putting in the effort and doing the work in order to get somewhere. But we won't go there today because that's not the rant of the day. Today's rant is all about criticism and actually seeking it. Because if you start something and you're not good at it. If someone gives you constructive feedback right off the top, then you can correct the mistakes you're making off the top. Learn how to do it correctly so that X period of time down the road, you do not have bad habits that will take forever to break you of. That's right. Learn early. When you don't have the bad habits, you can learn how to do things so much better if you get feedback and you listen to it. Oh yes, you have to listen to it. I have frequently been asked for my opinion, and I have learned to pretty much keep it to myself because I have moments like this where someone will send, I think it was a writing example, but it's happened to me multiple times, and they go, hey, what do you think of my, let's go with writing, this piece of writing? And I go, well, now you have to understand that I've spent the last 2.5 years attending several writing conferences, doing lots of workshops, and going, holy fuck, does my work need work? I have learned so much when it comes to writing. And so when I was given the feedback, I was doing, you know, I liked X and Y and Z. My understanding, though, is that for A, B, and C, these things don't work well and don't go over well when it comes to getting published, which is probably the goal most people who write have, ultimately. Either that, or why the hell were you asking for my opinion in the first place? If you wanted me to just read it and enjoy it, you should have just said that. But you didn't. You went, hey, can I have your opinion? And so I pass stuff along, and I get back, well, I like it the way it is. Okay. And from my personal emotional point of view, that's perfectly fine. I really don't give a flying fuck what you want. It's your piece. If you like it the way it is, that's perfectly great. Not personally invested. No, seriously. I honestly didn't give a fuck about the response. It was as I was thinking about this regretsy thing and this example came back to me and I'm like, wait a second. Why on earth are you asking me for an opinion? Feedback. Why do you want feedback if your response to it is simply going to be, well, that's nice, I don't care, I'm keeping it the way it is? I wasn't actually asking you to change anything. I was merely pointing out that, you know, certain things would probably be to your advantage to change. But the fact is, when it comes to feedback, the point of it is to go, this is what works, this is what doesn't. And if you get multiple, this is what doesn't, particularly multiple, but even a single one might do it for you. The point is to see if you can change. If you are so fucking convinced that you're right in the first place, then don't ask for feedback. What you're actually asking for, honey bunnies, kitty koodles, cutie pies, is for somebody to stroke your fucking ego. Now, if you want me to masturbate you, then you should just ask me to masturbate you, okay? Because that's what you're looking for. If you actually want me to help you become better at something, then you ask me for my honest opinion. Now, I should warn you at this point that if you do ask me for my opinion, most of the time you will get the gentle feedback version, which is of an honest nature, because I really fucking hate lying, but will avoid all the scary and dark and nasty places where I could go with the feedback, because I've had it proven time and time again. This one example is only one example, and it's kind of an amalgamation of a couple of examples, honestly. Of people asking for feedback and then really not handling it well when they get it. And I haven't been that mean. Trust me, I know how to be mean. I have made grown men cry. It turns out that one of my metaphysical talents is finding the precise weakest spot in a person and applying intense, direct pressure right into the heart of it. Yeah, I had to get that one under control and kind of stop it because it's not nice making people cry. I didn't feel good. I don't like making people cry. I don't want to. Honestly, I don't. So, if you ever want an opinion from me, and you want the full opinion, you actually have to tell me I want the full opinion, the good and the bad. I'm still going to treat you kind of nice, because I don't go and tell people generally, holy fuck, that fucking sucked. And there have been times I really should have. I have seen some writing work over the years where I feel there was one. I just couldn't bring myself to actually tell her what I thought of it because, well, she'd already had a crying fit that day from not getting the huge positive response that she thought and expected and felt that she was kind of in, well, not entitled to, but she really thought that she'd earned it. Except, well, it turns out she hadn't. And having read the first part of it, I kind of not surprised. It really did need work, but she was not in a place where I could give her that information. So I don't even remember how I got into that particular story. So I'm going to have another glass of mead. Wow, my voice is off today too. Terribly sorry. You're really screwed for listening to this show tonight. Damn it. Wish I could share the mead with all of you. Wait, let me have another sip. Just for you, for listening through all of this. I appreciate that. I really do. So as you may guess from this, you know, this is why I invite feedback, good and bad. I can't tailor what I do for you without feedback. Mind you, some of it I'm just going to do my own fucking way anyways, because by God, I have a mild agenda with this podcast. That's right. I do. I actually have a fucking agenda with it. And that agenda is to try and pass out some tips and tricks and shit I have learned over the years to you so that you can grow as a person, so that you might have a slightly easier time on your path of spiritual development than I did, because I had to figure this shit out for myself. So that's my agenda, people. That's right. I want to make you a better person. I want you to be happier in yourself. I want you to find a place where your life is at least periodically fucking grandiose. That is my agenda. And with that thought in mind, I think we're going to leave the rant now, because I've covered it. I've touched on the fact that people are fucking stupid. If you want feedback, then ask for feedback. You want masturbation? Ask for masturbation. Now that we have clarified that highly important point, let us move on to the actual and official purpose of the Mad Hatter episode, which will come to you momentarily. That's right. Hold your horses. Hold your cats. Hold your rangs. Hold what? Oh, hold your neighbor. Yes, that is a perfect thought. Except for me. Yeah, I don't want to hold my neighbor. Ran into my crazy neighbor recently. But that's a story for another time, because here we go into Mad Hatter, episode 25, part 2. Congratulations! Holy crap! You right there listening to this right this moment are a winner! That's right, you have won. And you're wondering, what the hell have I fucking won? Let me tell you. And in order for me to tell you, I have to recite dun, 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 bizarre poetry from the land of Aleister Crowley. This is the beginning of what you have won, but you have already won it. I am merely illuminating to you what it is that you have won. Adonai, thou inmost Dee, self-glittering image of my soul, strong lover to thy bride's desire, call me and claim me and control. I pray thee keep the holy tryst within this ring of amethyst. For on mine eyes the golden key hath dawned, my vigil slew the night. I saw the image of the One, I came from darkness into LVX. I pray thee, keep the holy tryst within this ring of amethyst. I-N-R-I, me crucified, me slain, interred, arisen, inspire, T-A-R-O, me glorified, anointed, fill with frenzied D, I pray thee keep the holy tryst within this ring of amethyst. I eat my flesh, I drink my blood, I gird my loins, I journey far, for thou hast shown eclipse plus U 777 Camlon. I pray thee keep the holy tryst within this ring of amethyst. Prostrate I wait upon thy will, mine angel, for this grace of union. O let this sacrament distill thy conversation and communion. I pray thee keep the holy tryst within this ring of amethyst. And it is also said, I shall tell you what happened one day when I said the poem to the ring. I wasn't really quite awake when I began, but as I said it, it got brighter and brighter, and when I came to Ring of Amethyst the fifth time,
and there are five verses because my lover's name has five V's in it. He galloped across the beautiful green sunset, spurring the winged horse till the blood made all the sky turn rosy red. So he caught me up and set me on his horse, and I clung to his neck as we galloped into the night. Then he told me he would take me to his palace and show me everything. And one day, when we were married, I should be mistress of it all. Then I wanted to be married to him at once, and then I saw it couldn't be, because I was so sleepy and had bad dreams, and one couldn't be a good wife if one is always doing that sort of thing. But he said I would be older one day, and not sleep so much. And everyone slept a little, but the great thing was not to be lazy and contented with the dreams, so I mean to fight hard. That, my beloved, is from Liber XCV, The Wake World, a tale for babes and sucklings. It is the story of the tarot. It is the story of awakening. It is the story of how to move from the confined bounds of our sheep-like existence into the fullness of who we have the potential to be if we just have the fucking guts to wake up. Ah, and that, my darlings, is the essence of what you have won. Because I know you are listening to this show. The fact that you are listening to it means that you have opened up, because you're doing this fucking voluntarily. So you must be getting something out of this show. And I'm not funny enough for it to be pure comedy. And I'm not telling enough stories for it to be pure entertainment. No, if you're listening to this, you're getting something out of it on some level, which means that you have already opened up to the possibility, the potentiality, the everything that exists beyond the sheep of our world. I had the realization, well, probably like a month ago, and in some ways I had intended to record that very night. And, well, you know, I kind of realized that I would have sounded like a lunatic if I recorded just then. You catch the irony in that moment, right? Because I'm pretty sure I still sound like a fucking lunatic. And I'm so glad I have an explicit rating tonight. Because tonight I need to use my invectives in order to express myself. I don't normally, but tonight I do. Because tonight is brought to you by, you can say it with me, mead. That's right. So, I have this realization that, yeah, winning a lottery would be great and all for the money and the lack of stress that it would, you know, supposedly give. Though that too is a lie, because if you had all that money, you'd have stress of a different sort. But my point being, I didn't need to win no fucking money, because I already had something that way too many people in this world don't have. How many people go through life and they get up and they go to work and they come home and they might look after kids or they might not. They might have, well, actually, if they have a hobby, they're actually a step up. But I'm actually really terrified at the number of people that they get up, they go to work, they come home, they watch TV for the night, they go to bed, they get up, and they repeat ad nauseum, which is actually the name, ad nauseum, of a local SCA group of recorder and other musical instrument players. I thought that was such a fabulous name. Anyhow, there are so many people in this world who, even if they have a little bit more interest to what they do on a daily basis, maybe they hit the gym, maybe they go swimming, maybe they, I don't know, collect stamps. The point is, there's a lot of people, in fact, the high majority of people in the world, I do believe, don't spend a lot of time, if any, really thinking and really experiencing. And I mean thinking in the broader sense, the wake sense. That's right. A little pause there to give a little bit of emphasis, which is an interesting thing to try and do on a podcast, let me tell you. Because you can't pause too long, then it just sounds like dead air. But a little bit of strategic pause can be a good thing. so many people are still asleep. And those who have great intellectual prowess and explore and do fabulous research approach something of what we have. And those who have a fabulous gift in art probably surpass us in certain ways, but not in others. We look at life, we look at ourselves, we look at our experience, and we want to take it that step further. And I'm not saying you have to believe in a god, a deity, a supreme being. I'm saying you believe in something, in the potential of something more, and that you are actively seeking for it. Otherwise, I come back to, why the fuck are you listening to my podcast? Not that I mind, actually. If you're not getting anything out of it and you're still listening, well, yeehaw, you know? But maybe on a deeper level, rather insidiously, like a snake, I'm slithering into your subconscious and implanting things, little seeds, darling little seeds into your subconscious that will grow, sprout, become something more. Oh, that's right. I so had to do a little, you know, erotic cute finger bite thing right there. Alas. This is audio only. You couldn't see it. That's a tragedy, I think. But anyhow, I know you do. You look, you explore, and you think about it. You experience it. Holy fuck, people. Holy fuck, how amazing are you? How wonderful you are. And yeah, holy fuck, does it occasionally suck? Because we dare to go where it hurts. And after we get through the pain, we get extra joy. If you haven't got to the extra joy part, oh my god, when you get there, holy fuck. When you can orgasm simply by having an amazing spiritual experience, oh, baby. And that might have been a little TMI, but on the flip side, let me tell you, it's fucking real. Oh yeah, oh yeah. I have had spiritual experiences that have racked me head to toe. And they were spiritual. Oh yeah, mm-hmm. These are the type of things we get to have. This is the type of life that, whether we were predisposed, shit happened to us, we took a left turn to get to Albuquerque. I don't know. I don't fucking know why we are the way we are. I just know that we're blessed to be this way. We are the lucky ones. We could be sheep. We could be asleep. We could be not even daydreaming. Well, sort of daydreaming. Through our days, with all of it just being monotonous shit that goes nowhere. And we're not. And, okay, I'm having a kind of young, geeky moment. Well, not even geeky. Just kind of silly. For those of you who are older, like me, and have seen the original Charlotte's Web in its animation version, there was a song in it, and every time I thought of doing this podcast, it kept coming into my head, and so, alas, my voice may be shot today, but I'm going to sing it for you anyways, because it resonates on a certain level with this idea, and it goes something like, how very special are we to have in our family tree Mother Earth and Father Sky. And I think there was a second verse, but I don't remember what it was. But that very idea, how very special are we to have in our family tree Mother Earth and Father Sky. And you don't have to see it as Mother Earth, and you don't have to see it as Father Sky, but we know there's fucking more out there. And how absolutely awesome is that for us? It makes me a little sad for all the people who will never realize it. But I can't save everybody. Hell, I don't think I can save anybody. I try. I just don't know if I could. But I will do what I can for you, and thereby helping me, which is kind of fun and entertaining. Yeah, you are so blessed, and you have won the spiritual lottery because you have your eyes open. I'm going to read you a little bit from an entirely different book. And, it's Lon Milo Duquette's The Key to Solomon's Key. Picked it up from when he was in town. And you know what? I've been wanting to I'm not sure dabble is quite the right term for doing Solomonic magic and, you know, playing with the Goetia, but we'll go with it. And I mean, okay, I'm just going to read part of this, which was, once you're working with the magic, the basic idea of the magic is they'll tell you it's demons that you're invoking. Some see it as purely psychological parts of yourself, and it isn't that you're invoking. You are demanding to be present and to answer unto you and to do your will. It is a very strong thing. It is not recommended for the faint of heart or the, quite honestly, if you haven't done, you know, probably several years of therapy, this is not where you want to start, kiddo. There's a lot of magic before you get to this particular type, because this kind of shit can drive you actually, you know, fucking nuts. And if you want to get fucking nuts, there are easier ways to get there. Seriously. Anyhow, but I like what this has to say about, in general, you don't have to use the Goetia to do this. It's just a particular tool. So he's talking about invoking into a triangle. It's a triangle of evocation, something like that. So I'm just going to read now, because I don't think I can further intro this and not make it even more chaotic. And let's face it, this episode, chaos! Furthermore, once you have evoked it into the triangle, you must be able to consider the spirit the personification of your problem, for in essence, that is what it is. Oh, and I should probably say that there are probably people out there who totally agree with what he, disagree with what he has to say. Whether you agree, disagree in regards to the Solomonic magic, I want you to take away from it the idea of your problems as your demons, because that, I don't give a shit about what you feel on the Solomonic magic part, is true. Our demons are the personification of our own problems. Okay. You must be able to consider the spirit the personification of your problem. You have every reason to be mad at it. The spirit is your problem. It's always been your problem. For the first time in your life, you have isolated it and can now focus the full force of your righteous anger and indignation, not at your spouse, not at your boss, not at your kids or your dog or the government, but at the real source of your problem. It has to listen to you, so you better know what you want to tell it. It's either going to shape up and do what you command, or you are going to annihilate it. My last word of advice is, don't make deals with the spirit. In a very real way, you've been unconsciously making deals with the spirit your whole life. That's why you have your problem. The whole ceremony is your formal way of branding your subconscious mind with the idea that you are through making deals with this tangled piece of ignorance, flawed perception, fear, vice, or addiction. Take your pick, they're all demons. Do you see the plot of this psychodrama? Do you see the method to the madness? Once you voluntarily reprogrammed your subconscious mind with a traumatic little experience like this, you become, in essence, a different person. Different things start happening to you when you become a different person. If all goes well, one of those things will be the solution to your problem. And this is also why you have won the fucking lottery, is because you have the ability, through this type of magic, through other types of magic, hell, just having the awareness that you can do this, that you are ultimately in control of all of you. Now, it takes a long time, a hell of a fucking lot of practice in order to be actually and actively in control of all of you, because so much of ourselves is buried underneath the surface. Hello, icebergs, 10% above the water, 90% below. 90% of us is probably subconscious, because all those fun things that we do and we get mad at ourselves for doing, or frustrated with ourselves for doing, or for not doing, they all come from the subconscious. If you have a problem with eating, hello, subconscious. If you have a problem with gambling, hello, subconscious. If you have a problem with drugs, hello, subconscious. If you have a problem with repetitive, typical mistakes with your relationships, hello, subconscious. But we are not the sheep daydreamers of the world. We are awake. We may not be awake for long. We may only have snippets of awake time, but we have them. We know that there's more. We know what can be done. We know how we can grasp hold of our lives and make it more of what we want it to be. We know this. It's merely a matter of learning how to do it and learning how to grasp hold of things and training ourselves. Because guess what? You're not going to be perfect at it day one. If you've just come to the realization that there's more to the world and, oh my God, there's all this subconscious stuff and holy crap, I can actually do magic and take hold of it and, you know, become master of my life. If you've just reached that stage, I hate to tell you, but there's a lot of work ahead of you before you actually are master of yourself. But, you will be if you work at it. And if you take feedback and constructive criticism and actually listen to what people have to say about how well or poorly you're doing, because there are times you could think yourself the most empathetic person in the world and everybody else thinks you're a boorish ass. If you never look for or get that feedback to discover the fact that you're a boorish ass, you will never actually grow because you think you're one thing when the reality is something different. People are out there as constant mirrors to ourselves and they should be used as such and treated with respect. You want to get a good, clear view of yourself. You don't cover up the mirror. You don't leave it coated in dust. You don't smear it with grease. You clean it. You keep it bright, shiny, and readily available so that you can look at it and not so that you just go, hey, look at how great I am. Because once again, we're back to the masturbation and we don't want masturbation. We want growth. So it's looking in the mirror and assessing fairly what it is that you're getting back. I don't mean trash yourself. I don't mean tell yourself you're perfect because both are lies. They are. You are neither holy fabulous, no holy suckage. You are somewhere in between. You got some fab, you got some suck, and mostly you're just like the rest of us, a human being. And look at it and be kind and fair to yourself. And take the feedback and go, you know what? This is a piece of feedback that I can use and will help me get to where I want to go. Well, that pretty much wraps it up because I don't think I can talk about this more without turning into a doddering old fool who simply cycles back and back and back and forth on herself because she doesn't know where else she's going. I don't know how to wrap up this episode, people. I didn't plan that part. All I got to was the whole, okay, announcements. Yes, got it. Rant. Yes, got it. Okay. Purpose of actual Mad Hatter episode is to celebrate the fact that we all fucking rock like there's no tomorrow. Yeah, got it. You do. You fuck like the... Wait, you fuck like there's no tomorrow? No. You rock like there's no tomorrow. Yeah, because you do. You do. Honestly, truly, you rock. I haven't even met you. Well, I've met some of you. But you rock, and I mean it. I most sincerely do. And I don't think there's any better way to finish this episode than with that. So, as always, I leave you with blessings of the deep and the wild. Let's go slither up out of this rabbit wellian hole and back into the real world. Unless, of course, you have the option of simply slipping down with me a little farther into the hole before heading out into some kind of real world. Wow. My real world just knocked on my door loudly with the sound of, oh, oh, oh. That's right. I have the sound of a cat horking in the background as I do this. Never, ever get too big for your britches because the universe loves reminding you that when it comes down to it, all you're here for is to, you know, clean up cat puke and other such fun mundane things. So live life bright, live it loud, live it full. Just live it. Love you. Ciao, Bellas.